Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles. Answer that. See if that's an emergency. The last 7 Sundays, with the exception of last Sunday, we spoke on the 7 sayings of our Lord on the cross. Last Sunday we digressed for a special message of the hour, and I wanted to conclude that 7 sayings with a message on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28. This is a message that I intended to preach last Sunday, but because of the financial need, then I preached last Sunday on the matter of tithing. Matthew 28. Shall we stand now for the reading of God's Word? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him to the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for this blessed reality and promise of Your presence. Thank You for being with us this morning. And we pray that You will do what You alone can do in our hearts and lives. Breathe on us, refresh us, touch our eyes and our hearts and our wills and our emotions. And may we today be conscious of the living Lord in our midst. O God, we pray, let us see Him by faith. And seeing Him, everything else will be in its proper proportion. Fill me, Lord, with Thy Spirit to preach, and open the hearts of this dear people that they may hear. And Lord, do what we cannot do for each other or ourselves, because we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, who died for us and was buried and rose again in His name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. When we come to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are those who would overthrow the resurrection of the Lord Jesus if they could. And many things that they, philosophies that they bring about to question His resurrection, and one is an age-old theory or philosophy that Jesus really didn't die, He only swooned. The Scripture, the accuracy of the Scriptures give the factual evidence that Jesus Christ really did die. That's part of the gospel. He, Christ, died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Now let's look at the evidence quickly to get to the practical part of our message. Jesus Christ, the death of Christ is historically factual. His death, the testimony of His death, the religionists testify that Jesus died. Look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63-64. Matthew 27, 63-64. Verse 2, rather. 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now the religionists that led in the crucifixion of the Son of God said that He died. They said He promised to rise again, and He says that while He was yet alive, and He's no longer alive, let's make sure that we do not have a repeat performance. Then the centurion, turned to Mark chapter 15. A soldier assigned over 100 soldiers standing nearby verifying to Pilate that Jesus Christ in actuality was dead. When Joseph of Arimathea came to the city and begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from Pilate, and I need an adult right down in this section, please, right quick, right here, please. In verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if He were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he sent for the centurion, who stood beneath a cross, and he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. The centurion said, Jesus Christ died. The religionists that stood there that day knew that He died and took precautions against His resurrection. His friends, turned to Matthew 27 again, back to verse 57, His friends said that He died. They came for the purpose of embalming His body, verse 57 of Matthew 27. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, verse 61. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. In John 19:34, John said he died as he gave testimony that the blood and water came out as a soldier pierced the side of the Son of God, testifying medically that Jesus Christ was dead. And there's a testimony not only of His death, but there's a testimony that Jesus Christ actually was buried. Matthew 27, verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest His disciples come by night and steal Him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate saith unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Pilate ordered this. The religionists, the enemies, knew where He was buried. The guards stood outside, and the friends knew where. And that tomb was sealed by Joseph of Arimathea. He rolled a great stone to the door, the Scripture said. The government put its seal, the ring of the emperor, on that stone, and the military stood on guard. Jesus literally died and was literally buried. Now, our text this morning in verse 6, He is not here, for He is risen, as He has said. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is historical. He is risen. One of the most attested facts in history is the resurrection of the Son of God. Those who question the validity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ do not carry their reasoning to the local law court If as many witnesses ever stood before a judge and gave evidence of something that they saw, there'd be an overwhelming evidence, indisputable evidence that what they saw had actually transpired. Those who doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ doubt it because they've got a heart problem and not a head problem. Because they cannot stand, the devil hates the resurrection of Christ, for it denounces His overthrow and His ultimate being cast into the lake of fire. Jesus rose again. Let's look at the proof. They saw Him. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here are witnesses given again and again. This many saw Jesus Christ. They saw Him physically. They saw His body. John said we saw Him. John said we ate with Him. John said we talked with Him. Paul, in writing of the resurrection, stated in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, that's Simon Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that He was seen of James, then all of the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also as one born out of due season. His most bitter enemy said that he saw Him, He rose again. The one that denied Him said, I don't know Him, said, I saw Him, He rose again. James, a half-brother of our Lord who did not believe in Him, said, He rose again, I saw Him. 12 frightened apostles who doubted the resurrection, weren't looking for it, and thought all hope was gone. The 11 apostles said, we saw Him, He rose again. They wouldn't die for a lie. These 12 men, without exception, with John accepted, laid down their life for Jesus Christ. They wouldn't lay down their life for a lie. It was a lie. They knew it was a lie. They said He rose again. 500 people, and He said, of whom the greater part has remained unto this present is alive unto the present, could have been summoned when Paul wrote this blessed epistle, could be summoned and testify, we saw Him. You take 500 people to see the same thing, and I'll tell you, brother, there ain't nothing else to see. You take a half a dozen people and put them out here on the street corner and let two cars have an accident and let a half a dozen go to court, and you've got a half a dozen accounts as to how it happened. And here are 500 people said, we saw Him at one time. Not at separate occasions, but 500 people saw Him at one time. They saw Him. Turn to Luke 24, verse 39. They saw that He had the same body. He's no phantom. He's no phantom. The modernists will go to the pulpit and preach on Easter Sunday about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and He'll steal the hearts of the people by saying He His body is dead, but His spirit still lives on. The Bible doesn't talk about that sort of thing. That's not what the Bible means by resurrection. The Bible, when it talks about resurrection, is that the body that went in the grave came out of the grave. The body lived again. And Luke chapter 24, Jesus stood in their midst, and He says in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He showed him his hands, He showed him his side. John said He showed him his feet. And He said, you put your hands and the sense touch. They saw Him with eyes. They heard Him with the ear. They felt Him with the hands. They heard Him speak. They saw the same body that hung on a cross. They ate with Him. Look at verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. They saw Him. They saw the body. They ate with Him. Acts 10:41 says that they ate with Him. They saw Him. Turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. They saw Him 40 days. Now, when you see the same thing 40 days, or if there had been one flashing glimpse of something, and I hear all sorts of stories and tales as they go out knocking on doors about people, what people have seen, and I don't believe it. You know, majority of it, I don't believe. Oh, they've seen something. But oh, that which is sure and real, brother, is found in the Word of God. It's not some passing fancy.
It's not some hallucination. They saw him 40 days. Acts 1 and verse 3, the Bible said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. 40 days he met with them. 40 days he walked, he talked, he ate with them. He assembled with them. He commanded them. Knowing they could see and they could hear and they could feel and they could touch many infallible fruits. John said, our hands have handled of the word of life. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. They heard him, I read in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. They heard him talk. They saw him eat. They saw him walk. They felt his hands. They heard his words. They felt his heart, passion, and his thrust, and his commands. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's history. That's factual. That's indisputable evidence. Jesus rose again. Now consider secondly, thirdly, first of all, Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ is factual. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is historical. Thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fundamental. Fear not ye. Oh my, if Jesus didn't rise again, there'd be no such two words in our vocabulary, fear not. We have everything in the world to be afraid of if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And as he stood and he said, fear not ye. He is risen again, as he said. Now, brother, that adds joy to our heart, and that's fundamental. Here it is. Number one, it's proof of the inspiration of the Word of God. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I heard this last week, and oh, I wish I could bottle up all I saw and heard and felt and share with you. But I saw two retarded young men. I have no idea. Maybe they're 25. Maybe they're 30. I don't know how old they were. But they stood. A doctor has a home for them and the folks that are educable. And he asked them questions, you know, about the Bible, and one had answered and then the other. And then he finally asked the last question. He said, what do we mean? And I forgot the fellow's name. Seemed like one of them was Steve. Butch. Butch, what do we mean by the inspiration of the Scripture? And Butch blurted out, said, you can believe the whole thing. And that's inspiration. Now, I ought a lot of words. And I stood and I saw two retarded young men. Oh, I tore my heart out. Then they sung. One, they sang solo, and then while the other one was singing, Butch stepped to the back and he prayed for him, and he's wiping tears away as the other young man was singing. And he sang, how long has it been since you knelt with the Lord, talked with the Lord? And oh, he sang. And how he sang in his retarded way. What a message of heart. And they sang about a living Lord. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's history. And brother, the blessing of that fact to our heart is fundamental. It's a proof of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Look what Jesus, when he rose again, look what he pointed them to. Look at Luke 24 and verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. God said, a man's a fool, doesn't believe the word. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he believed Moses. Jesus Christ taught Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's in spite of God. Boy, somebody come along and said, I don't believe Moses. You call Jesus Christ a liar. He believed it. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures of things concerning himself. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives added proof that the Bible is indeed the very inspired Word of God, and you can believe the whole book. Secondly, not only the proof of inspiration, but the proof of the person of Jesus Christ hangs on His resurrection. He claimed to be the Son of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And Jesus Christ's claims was verified, vindicated by the Father on the first day of the week. Romans chapter 1. Paul writes about the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He hath promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. If He was not God the Son of God, He never rose from the dead. That's the reason the modernist does not believe in the resurrection, because he does not believe in the deity of the Son of God. If he believed in the deity of the Son of God, there's no problem about the resurrection. The God who can breathe life into dead dirt and dust and speak to it and make it live, that's no problem for God to breathe into a body and make it live again. That's no problem with God. If you can accept the first verse of the Bible, you have no problem with the rest of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and a God big enough and great enough to create the universe and hold it up. That's a God great enough to raise somebody from the dead. That's no problem with God. Proof of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." Simon Peter, as he preached on the day of Pentecost to that crowd that crucified him, he said in Acts 2, verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." How could death hold life in its grasp? Life could not hold him any more than darkness could hold light. Jesus said, "I'm he that was dead and alive again, and I have the keys of death and hell." The grave couldn't hold him. Why? He's the Lord of life. I like the black preacher preaching, and all their imagination. Brother, I'll tell you, sometimes it soars beyond our imagination, all the truth. And he's preaching on the resurrection, and he's personifying death, and the devil said, "Hey, death, hold him." And the devil came back and said, "I got him." And the second day, the devil came by and said, "Hey, death, have you got him?" And death said, "Yes, I've got him." Came by the third day and said, "Hey, death, have you got him?" And death said, "I've got him." Came by later on and said, "Hey, death, have you got him?" He said, "Yes, I've got him." And the devil said, "If you got him, then who's that walking down the road?" Brother, that you see that. Death could not hold the Son of God. It's not possible that he should be holding of it. It's proof of the person of Jesus Christ. Turn to Mark, Matthew chapter 12. People want signs. God gave one indisputable, undeniable sign. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a man or woman will not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God will not give any additional evidence. That's God's final evidence, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, verse 38. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." People always want to go by signs. "Give me a sign." You don't need a sign. You got the whole book completed. You don't need a sign. Just walk with faith. Matthew 12. "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly,
You know what's the thrilling thing? Every place where the infidels attack the Word of God, Jesus Christ singles out those verses of Scripture and verifies that they really happened. Jonah under fire. It's not a Christ on a cross that saves, it's a Christ that came out of the tomb from the cross that saves. And the proof of the Christian's hope, it's a living hope. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the hope of the forgiveness and the reality of the forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 10, oh, how many times this has been used to lead people to Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And a person that does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot get saved. Why? Because only a living Savior can save. Again, it's proof of the Christian's hope and reality of the forgiveness of sins. It's a proof of our reunion with our loved ones. Now, when I think about Mama's gone, Papa's gone, Brother's gone, nephew's gone, uncle's gone, aunt's gone, deacon brothers that stood and held up my hands, and widows and ladies who stood with me, and young people, I think about that. Oh, my brother, what in the world are we doing here today if there's no life beyond this? And Paul, writing to the saints at Thessalonica, said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For therefore, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If a Christian's not goodbye, that's I'll see you later on. It's not a leap into the dark. It's a step into the Father's house. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's reunion before you meet the Lord. You meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a proof of a Christian's hope for forgiveness of sins and reunion in our own resurrection. It's built on His resurrection. Paul said, some say that Christ be not risen from the dead. How say some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. And if there Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then you're not coming out of the grave either. Many folks want to study religions. And the devil, hear me, I hate religion. Did you know that? The Bible hates religion. God's greatest enemy has always been religion. Paul profited in religion before he got saved. When he got saved, he threw his religion away, that he swapped his religion for Christ. And folks want to study all of the religions of the world. You'll never live long enough to study just the religions in India. And these folks who are standing in the air terminals and handing out flowers, all of this Oriental religion, hear me, there's a simple test that you can then take, and it won't take long to find out which is right. I tell you what, you go to the tomb. And if you go to the tomb of Mary Baker, Eddie, and you find that she's still there, keep walking. That's the wrong place. You go to Buddha, Confucius, you go to, listen, Mohammed and their body still lies in the grave, in the ground, but there's only one grave that you could approach in all of history, and he's not here. He's risen, as they said. That's the right one. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave, conquered my greatest enemy. Then that's the right one. You don't have to go to a library to test that out. Just go to the tomb. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is assurance of our forgiveness of our sins and reunion with our loved ones. It's assurance also of our own resurrection. Then also it's assurance that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said, therefore, on the basis of the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to tell you something. This world
that's not serving Jesus Christ has got, I mean, heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of time on their hands. Have you ever stopped, and boy, I'm not talking about envy, but you ever happen to stop to think how much time you'd have if you weren't a Christian? Well, I got all day Sunday. I got all day Saturday. I got some Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I got every night in the week. Man, you talking about time on your hands. The world out there's got time galore to do what they want to. And a person is trying to serve Jesus Christ. If, hear me, if this life, in this life only we have hope in Christ, and we're most miserable. We spent the majority of our time serving the Lord. You know what? Sunday belongs to Him. Saturday belongs to Him. Monday through Friday belongs to Him. Night after night, it belongs to Him. Paul said, now, brethren, you're not serving a dead Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord, and you faithful servants, teachers, and officers, and bus workers who knock on doors and hour after hour, week after week, and sometimes the devil may say, hey, you're burning your life out, and why don't you do like the rest of folks do? And oh, hear me. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is assurance that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is practical. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I had the choir to sing that song, the Lord Himself stood by me. To have the Lord stand by you is worth everything in this world. The Lord. Turn to the 115th Psalm. I stood in Italy. I walked by statues. And all over those statues were pieces of paper with a pen through them, stuck into a statue that folks said, here's a prayer. And they stuck it into a statue, hoping that that statue could some way, somehow, have power with God, and that statue could answer the prayer. I went into cathedrals, and here are folks who are burning candles, and the candles are burning, hoping some way, in the placing of a candle, they'd have power or get their prayer answered. I stood and I watched old folks stand before a crucifix and cross themselves and the tears flowing. Now listen, the crucifix can't answer your prayer. And prayers cannot be answered by a God in which you can stick a needle in or a pin in and pin a prayer on it. You go to other places and have a prayer wheel where they put their prayers in a wheel and they turn them in hoping that the God will answer prayers. Other places, they take their prayers and they throw them at their God, and the ones that stick is the one they feel, well, God will answer their prayer. Here's what God had to say about this. In the 115th Psalm, verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They can't talk back to me. They have eyes, have they, but they see not. They can't see my need or my condition. They have ears, but they hear not. They can't hear my prayer. They have noses, and noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Oh, hear me. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is not on a cross. He is a living God. Today, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. It's practical. Now, I want to just quickly go through the book of Acts. Turn there. And just name about 11 or 12 things. Practical. He said, lo, I'm with you. Did you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here tonight? This morning. You say, well, I don't feel Him. That doesn't change His promise. If we came back to things we've heard all of our life, if we really believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was here in a special way. There isn't any place in this universe where can you go from His Spirit, but there's a special promise connected with the soul winning. Matthew 28:18-20. Lo, I am with you always. You don't want to change the date? I'll guarantee you kids wouldn't cut up in church if they believed that Jesus Christ was really here. It'd be difficult, and you may be tired and weary, and I understand that, but it'd help us a whole lot of going to sleep. We felt Jesus was there. If we felt Jesus was there, oh, we'd be sincere. If it felt Jesus was there, oh, we'd be wholehearted. And my friend, hear me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in this service this morning. He said so. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, the book of Acts, that which transformed the defeated disciples, and the book of Acts is simply the fact that Jesus, you know what they preach the book of Acts? They preach He's alive, the resurrection of the Son of God. That was the theme of the book of Acts, not tongues, but Christ. That was their message. Now look what it did to them. Brother, the living Christ can convict sinners. Acts 2:36, when they preached in the day of Pentecost. Hear me, I don't want you to turn, you just listen. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 36, they were pricked in their hearts. Who pricked them in their hearts? I'll tell you, the risen Christ. He not only convicts sinners, but He opens closed doors. And the book, I want you to turn to this one instead. Turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. He's a God who can open closed doors. He still lives. He said, I'm He that openeth and no man closeth, and I close and no man shutteth. And there are no closed fields to God. People are talking about closed doors. There are no closed doors to God. They're only closed as He closes them. Men try to close them, but God opens them. He's a God that can open closed doors in your life. He's a God, the living Christ, that can direct and soul winning. In Acts chapter 8, here is a man preaching in Samaria. And all Philip is having a great meeting in the city, turns to Christ, and there's great joy in the city. And then the scripture says, the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And God laid His hand upon a man named Philip and sent him into the desert to witness to a man who was hungry in his heart to get saved. He's a living Christ that can direct us in our soul-winning efforts. He's a living Christ that can convert our greatest enemy of the gospel. Saul of Tarsus. Nobody ever dreamed he'd get converted. Saints didn't think he'd get converted. Ananias was afraid of him when the Lord said he's praying. He said, that man persecuted people. In Acts chapter 9, the risen Christ confronted his greatest enemy, Saul of Tarsus, and made him Paul the apostle, the mighty bearer of good news. He's a living Christ. He's a living Christ that can welcome a soldier home. Here's Deacon Stephen preaching about the living Christ, and they gnash on him with their teeth, and they begin to stone him. And he stands and he said, I see Jesus at the right hand of God, and Jesus standing for his fallen deacon. He's a living Christ that can answer prayer. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Simon Peter's they're in jail. They're going to cut off their head. They'd already cut off James' head, and Simon Peter's in prison. And the scripture said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I wish I could just get that one thing to our hearts. Do you know what united one heart, one mind, one soul prayer could do for this church, this county, this state, this nation, if this group of people believe that God's Son was alive? He answered prayer. They made petitions to Him. They didn't try to buy Him out of jail. They didn't have any money. They'd given it all away. They didn't have any political pull. Their only hope was God. and prayer was made without ceasing. They didn't let up, and God opened the doors of a prison and let their preacher out. My friend, today we have not, because we try to get it without the right way of praying. Prayer! 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 They prayed, and the place was shaken. He's a God. He's a living Christ that can answer prayer. He's a living God. Turn to Acts 18 and verse. Here's an encouragement. Acts chapter 18. Paul came to a city. Here's a good verse for a bus worker. Here's a good verse for a teacher. Here's a good verse for a soul winner. In the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 9, at Corinth. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Paul, God said, Paul, preach the word, I'm with you. There's much people in this city, and there's an assurance of soul winning, that's assurance of God's presence, and that's an assurance of fruitfulness, that's assurance that somebody's gonna get saved. He said, I have much people in this city. Teach on. Preach on, Apostle Paul. He's the Lord Jesus Christ encourages in our teaching. He's the one that can call us to special service. Paul saw a vision by night, said, and a man of Macedonia come and say, come over and help us in the Macedonia. You hear me? Brother, young people have sat in pews in this church, and they've got a special call from God, and their heart began to burn, and God thrust them out. And the most important thing in all of their life was selling out to Jesus Christ. While other people were thinking about other things, some boy, some girl's heart began to burn about heavenly things. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Oh, He's a God that inspires and calls to special service. He's a God that comforts in persecution. In the 23rd chapter, Paul's in jail. And the word says, and by night the following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Sometimes you may think people serve the Lord are awfully bold. It's not their bold. The Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The righteous is bold as a lion. Assurance that the Lord is with an individual takes away fear and implants a holy boldness that man does not know on his own. Paul in jail said, I'll be with you, Paul, and I'll carry you to Rome, and I'll bear you to Rome. John Bunyan was in Bedford jail 12 years. They tried to let him out. He said, we let you out if you quit preaching. He said, the moment you let me out, I'll preach. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in jail. I suppose next to the Bible, the most oft-read book in the world, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. Do you know what sustained John Bunyan in jail? It was the presence of the risen Christ. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Lastly, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. One of these days you're going to die if Jesus doesn't come. Just a few steps away is a chopping block. And it's a consensus of, I call the greatest men in America, folks. The rapture doesn't take place within 5 to 10 years. It's a consensus of what I call the greatest preachers in America, that preachers' blood will flow in the streets of the United States. I believe that. People are talking about revival. There's no revival anywhere on the horizon that I can find in the Word of God. Folks claim revival in cities. Crime hadn't let up. Where you have revival, I'll guarantee you jails are emptied. And I mean dens of iniquity are locked up and put out of business. Wherever you've had a genuine revival, brother, you've had a turning from sin and iniquity and a decrease in crime, and there's no decrease on the horizon anywhere. What lies ahead? I don't know. But here's one thing sure. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Lo, I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the world." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, with a chopping block just around the corner, says now in verse 6, "I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure," he didn't call it decapitation, he called it "my time of my departure, is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." Now look at his court appearance in verse 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." What? Paul said, "Everybody forsook me, but the Lord stood with me." And you're going to come to a place, if Jesus tarries, that, brother, when nobody can hold your hand, that's called a valley of the shadow of death. Religion can't hold your hand and walk through that. Your church can't. Your pastor can't walk. Your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your deacon. Nobody can walk through that valley. And yet, David, knowing it in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And have the Lord Jesus take your hand and bury you safely on the other side. "The Lord stood with me. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you." But wait a minute. He's not just with us out there when we die. He's with us today. Mother, you go back home, and if you're a Christian mother, hear me. The Lord says to you, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Businessman, and all you hear is vile language. Well, Jesus goes to work with you. And student at school, where everything is holy and noble is laughed at and ridiculed, Jesus Christ will go to school with you. "I'll never leave you nor fail you nor forsake you." Whatever it be, Jesus said, "How low I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He's a living Savior, but oh, he's a faithful Savior.